Haideți cu toții, dragi frați și surori, să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură la Iov din nou. Iov, capitolul 2, am să citesc de la versetele 1 la 10. So, let's open our Bibles at the book of Job. I'll read from verses 1 to 10. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where did you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And still he holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without a cause." So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hands, but spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with a painful boil from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Amen. Amen. So tonight, brothers and sisters, we're going to continue the message that we started about 6 weeks ago, dealing with depression part 2. And if you remember, about 6 weeks ago, we were talking about two very important aspects in dealing with depression. We're talking about finding a purpose, understanding that we have a purpose in our life. And the purpose that we have in our life is not just to make money. The purpose that we have in our life is not just to live comfortable. The purpose that we have in our life is to live for God, is to live godly. And when we have this objective, this purpose in our lives, then the storms can come, the depressions can come, but we can stand up and walk. We were talking about getting rid of our ego. Understanding that after you're saved, it's not just about you anymore. It's about your friends, it's about your family, it's about people that we interact with every day of our lives. And we cannot afford being depressed Christians. Because being a depressed Christian is equal with being a dead Christian. So tonight, after finding a purpose, even in our depression, after getting rid of our ego, we're going to talk about three more aspects of depression. We're talking about doing your part. Yes, simply doing your part. Exodus 20, verse 9, Proverbs 14, verse 21, and Psalm 73, verse 17 talk about doing your part. You see, every time we talk from this book of Job, every time we talk about Job, it's always about him. He's the main character here. We're talking about Job. We're talking about his life. We're talking about his sufferings. We're talking about his trial. We're talking about his friends. We're talking about their advice. We're talking about what God says at the end. But there is someone else here just as important as Job. There is someone else here that suffered just as much as Job did. There is someone else here that witnessed all her 10 kids dying. And she doesn't even have her name specified here. We're talking about Job's wife. You see, there was probably a moment in your life, or maybe it will be in the future, when you have that amazing day of your wedding day. You bring your friends, you bring your family, you bring your pastors, and there it's your amazing wedding day where you promise to your next or your future husband or your future wife all your love. And you say, "I will love you, I'll be committed to you, I'll be faithful to you all my life." It doesn't matter that we'll be sick. It doesn't matter if we're going to be healthy. It doesn't matter if we're going to have money or if we're not going to have money. But I will love you. I will be committed to you. I'll be faithful to you all my life. And I'm assuming that Job had that moment and that day with his wife. And now in his trial, in his sufferings, he expected her to be that post that he can hold on to. And she comes to him and she says, Job, don't you see that everything that you believed was a lie? Job, just wake up to reality. Just curse God and just get over with it. You see, Augustine labels this woman as a diabolical fury. And Calvin names her as the devil's accomplice. And she's probably going to get into this hole of shame in the history, along with other women like Michal, Jezebel, or Delilah. But the only difference is that it seems like this woman, it seems like Job's wife, she came back to her senses and she repented. And the reason why I say that is because at the end of the book, when Job gets all his wealth back, the Bible says that he has 10 more kids. And the Bible doesn't say that he has 10 more kids with another woman. That's why we're assuming that he had 10 more kids with the same woman. And we're assuming that she repented from her sins. You see, doing your part is very important in your depression. Someone came one day to Joyce Meyer and said, "How come you are a woman that speaks about God? You are a woman that teaches others how to live their life, and you're talking about living a godly life. Hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions, are watching you in the United States of America and outside of the United States of America. But your own brother, your own sibling is a homeless in LA. How do you explain that?" And she said, "You can offer someone all your love. You can offer someone all your feelings. You can take him and put him in a rehab every month as I did with my brother. But you will never be able to change a person unless that person wants to be changed. God won't change a person unless that person wants to be changed. God won't take you out, my friend, from your depression unless you want to get out from that depression. God won't take you by your hand saying we're going to heaven or we're going to hell now unless you want to do that." There's a moment when Jesus is in front of a crowd and there's a blind man right in front of him. And Jesus comes and says, "What do you want me to do?" And probably the disciples were kind of wondering, "Master, what are you talking about? What do you mean what he wants? I mean, don't you see he's blind? I mean, it's so obvious what he wants." But brothers and sisters, Jesus said, in other words, "I am God. I am Jesus Christ right here in front of you. And I'm asking you, what do you want? I am God. And when you see God, you might ask for money, you might ask for gold, you might ask for power. I don't know, there might be a lot of things that you might ask for. But are you sure you want to be healed? Are you sure you want to get out from that depression? Are you sure you want to be a different person?" There has to be a moment in your life when you have to say, "God, I will take over my depression. I will take over my situation. God, I won't stop. God, I won't quit. God, I won't be just a number. God, I won't be just a statistic. God, I will do my part." You see, in the Bible, there's a moment when there's a woman with a flow of blood. And you see, it's tragic when you see someone that suffers and has a disease. It's a shock when you find out that you have a disease. But you know what's worse? I think what's worse is the fact that you have to wake up every morning and you have to think about that. And this woman wasn't just sick. This woman was depressed. She went to the doctors. She tried everything and nothing worked until one day when Jesus came in the picture. And she probably said, "You know what? I will walk to Jesus. It doesn't matter if it takes me a day. It doesn't matter if it takes me a week. It doesn't matter if it takes me a month. I will go and I will walk to Jesus. He might not have time to talk to me. He might not have time to share with me. He might not have time to spend with me. But I will go and I will touch him and I will be healed because I will do my part." Cum auzeam și de dimineață, vine un înger la Gedeon și spune, "Domnul fie cu tine, viteazule." Doamne, dar ce vrei să spui? Doamne, dar nu vezi că-s dintr-un necaz în altul, dintr-o nenorocire în alta, dintr-o problemă în alta? Doamne, sunt dintr-un spital în altul, de la o mormântare la alta. The Midianites are coming and are oppressing us. Don't you see, God, that I'm at the bottom point of my life? I'm in my depression, I'm in my sorrow, and you are calling me a brave man? Is that a joke, God? God comes to Gideon and says, "God be with you, you man of valor. God be with you, you brave man." He comes to you tonight and says, "God be with you, you brave man. God be with you, you brave woman. God be with you, Emmanuel, because I'm not looking at the sinner that you are today, but I'm looking at the restored person you'll be tomorrow. I'm not looking at the sick person that you are today, but I'm looking at the healthy person you'll be tomorrow. I'm not looking at the depressed man and woman you are today, but I'm looking at the changed person that you will be tomorrow." But you got to do your part. You got to do your part, Gideon. You got to go in your father's house and you got to break all these altars of Baal. We want to get out from our depression, then we got to go to the roots of the depression. And if we go to the roots of depression, we'll see that there is sin. Mi-aduc aminte când eram la vreo 10-12 ani, m-am dus cu bunicul la cartofi și la sapă, cum se spunea în România, și m-a pus să tai niște buruieni, să muiți. Și după o jumătate de oră vine la mine și își pune mâinile în cap și spune: mă copile, dar ce ai făcut? Păi dar nu așa se taie buruienile. Păi dacă vrei să le tai să nu mai crească, trebuie să le tai de la rădăcină. Că dacă tu le tai 5 cm de la pământ și le lași, n-ai făcut nimic. If we want to get out from our depression, my dear brothers and sisters, we got to go to the roots. We got to cut the sin. We got to cut the weeds. We always actually find excuses, right? I'm depressed. Well, it's because of that trauma that I had 5-10 years ago. I'm depressed. I take it from my mom. I take it from my dad. I'm depressed. You see, my son, he's depressed. But what happened? Well, his girlfriend dumped him. Really? But how old is he? 15. 15 and he has a girlfriend. We're depressed. When you come to our house, you know, don't be surprised if we have moods, but why? But when was the last time you took your kids and you start praying? I remember when I was little, I will never forget that. My parents, my dad used to take all of us every night, and we would always pray. Every night we would gather and pray in front of their beds. Bad. I might have not liked it that much then, but let me tell you something. When I was in my depression, when I was in my situation, in my sorrow, I didn't need to go jump off a bridge. I didn't need to go commit suicide because I knew that I have to do my part. And doing my part was going on my knees, knowing that I have a God that is strong. I have a God that I can share my problem with. I have a God that I can share my tear with. I have a God that I can share my situation with. I have a God that will listen to me. But you got to do your part. We have to do our part, brothers and sisters. You see, you're never gonna be able to get a job unless you look for one. You're never gonna be able to get a degree unless you're committed and you stay in school. You're never gonna be able to prosper in your marriage unless you invest in it. You are never gonna be able to deal with your depression unless you do your part. Two, after doing your part, removal of the sin. Of course, there's something that we can do on our own, and we can do it just by the help of Jesus Christ. Psalm 32, verses 3 to 5, 1 John 1, 9, and Jeremiah 2, 13 talk about the removal, the importance of the removal of sin in our lives. You see, brothers and sisters, sin is what caused Adam and Eve being kicked out from the Garden of Eden. They committed a sin, and they were depressed. How can you not be depressed when you know that you have to leave the presence, the joy of God for the rest of your life? Sin is what caused Judas Iscariot to commit suicide. He betrayed Jesus. And he came back to the priest with the silvers, but it was too late. For Judas Iscariot, it was too late. But for you, my friend, it's not too late tonight. And then he got into an anxiety, he got into a depression, and he commits suicide. You see, sin is an evil element that make people want to just be deep in their problem, in their situation, and not want to move on. Look at this parallel between David and Saul. They both committed a sin. And Saul commits a sin, and instead of repenting, he's just sliding down on a very slippery road until that moment when he dies in such a terrible way. David, he commits a sin as well. And then Nathan comes and tells him up front what he did. And David repents. And God said, your son will die. And David is praying and said, God, please, I don't want my son to die. And guess what happens? His son dies. You know what David did after? The Bible said that he changed his clothes and he started worshiping God. He wasn't depressed. You know why? Because David understood, brothers and sisters, there's repercussions and there's consequences for our sins. There's repercussions and there's consequences for our sins. You see, you can drive your car. And you can get a red light on your car that says that your engine is overheating. And there's two ways you can get rid of red light. You can either stop at a mechanic and you can fix the problem. Or you can take a hammer and you can start smashing the board of your car. Either way, eventually the red light will go off. But if you do the second thing, you won't be able to drive too long. The red light is a warning. The red light is your conscience that tells you that your life is not okay, my life is not okay. And the only way we can be different is by the removal of that sin in our lives. And that can be done only by Jesus Christ. Of course, your friends will tell you that it's not your fault. It's never your fault. Probably a Freudian psychologist will tell you that is your mom's fault. A Sintarian psychologist will probably tell you that it's an animal's fault. But you will never be able to blame an animal for your sins. You are never going to be able to blame your parents, your kids, your professors, your teachers, your friends, your pastors on your sins. Why? Because you were created in God's image. The question is, how do I perceive that sin that might have caused my depression? On the day of the Pentecost, Peter preaches to the Jews and he tells them what they did to Jesus. And the Bible said that they were cut to the heart in such a way that they decided to repent. Stephen does the same thing to the audience in Jerusalem. And the Bible also says that they were cut to the heart in such a way that they now decide to kill the messenger, to kill Stephen. Again, the question is, how do I perceive that sin that might have caused my depression? In the department where I work right now, there used to be a guy. His name was Tony. And about 10 years ago, he started having some problems. His teeth would start moving. And his friend said, you know, you should go and see a doctor. Despite the fact that he had medical insurance, he never wanted to go. He said, I don't believe in doctors. I hate hospitals. I hate dentists. I don't want to deal with them. Years go by and things got worse. And there was a point when his old jaw started moving. And he had to go to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, you came a little too late. You have cancer now. And you have to go through a surgery. He went through a surgery. After the surgery, the doctor came and said, you know, I have two news for you. A good news and a bad news. Which one do you want me to tell you first? Well, the good news. Well, the good news is that we removed the cancer. The bad news is that it spread all over your brain. In less than a month after the surgery, this man died. Why? Because he never wanted to admit that there is a problem. If you never wanted to admit that there is sin in your life, sin that caused that depression, you will never be able to deal with your depression. You know, you can fool yourself. You can fool me. You can fool your friends. You can fool even your enemies. You can fool the church. You can fool the pastors. But you will never, ever be able to fool God. What is your conscience telling you? A good conscience depends on a good behavior. Sometimes good lives come from good deeds. A good, a pure, a real conscience will never fall into the trap of depression. 3, fight. What do I do in my depression? How do I deal with my depression? I'm going to fight. Psalm 42, verse 5, Job 9, 15, and John 16, 13 talk about this. You see, there's 3 people that come to Job. And instead of lifting him up, they push him down even more. And I think we all have this kind of people, or we all see them sometimes. You know, you try to do something good maybe in your family, and there's always someone that will say you do it wrong. Maybe you want to do something in your church, and there's always someone that will push you down. We see people that are depressed, and instead of helping them, instead of praying for them, it's so much easier to push them down even more. You know, Job never considered suicide as a solution for his problem, because he knows that one day the truth will come out. Job's endurance, brothers and sisters, is an example of glorifying God for what God is, not for what God gave us. We should be able to glorify God not for what God gives us all the time, but for what God is in our lives. I think we have so many reasons to glorify God for what God is giving us, because He's giving us so many things. And I was just thinking the past few months about this evil group, Islamic State ISIS, in Syria and northern Iraq. And it's tragic. It's tragic when you hear about them going from a house to another, and they make Christians turn to Muslims, and if they don't do that, they start killing their kids that die as martyrs. And you know, I was thinking about those people. They might say, God, we're not glorifying you for what you gave us, because God might have not given them that many things. They might have a goat, and that's all their treasure. They might have a room. They might not have dollars. They might not have jobs. They might eat once a day. And they might say, you know what, you guys can win this physical fight that will take 60, 70 years, but you will never be able to win the spiritual fight that it will take forever. Yes, you can kill our kids. Yes, you can kill us too. Yes, you can smash us in pieces. Yes, you can behead us. But you will never gonna get us depressed because of the power, because of the joy, because of the peace, because of the love that God put in our hearts. The Bible said that Job never sinned in his trial. But I think he was close to the border of rebellion so many times. And I think that's where I'm finding myself and you're finding yourself often. God, why me? Doamne, dar de ce eu? Dar de ce, Doamne, mi se întâmplă tocmai mie? Dar de ce eu trebuie să trec prin problema asta mereu și mereu și mereu? I don't know why. And maybe it doesn't matter. Did you ever think that? Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't matter. Who am I to question God all the time? Who am I to ask him to give me explanations every time for what it is? He is God. He's the one that created his whole universe. And if he decides it that way, then be it. Brothers and sisters, when we see the reality in true lights, as the way Job did, that's when we're probably going to repent in sand, in ashes, in dust, expressing sorrow for our thought. In the conclusion, I want to leave you with three thoughts. Three things that Job did. Job never quit. Job 19:25. Job never quit. When you know your relationship with God, when you know where you stand with God, when you know where your heart is, the people, they can say whatever they want about you. They can backstab you. They can think things about you. They can write things about you. They can call you names. But you will always stand. You will not quit because you know where you stand with God. You know where your soul is. You know where your heart is. Job accepted his faith. Job 1, verse 21. You know why he accepted his faith? Știți de ce Job și-a acceptat soarta? Pentru că inima acestui om n-a fost legată de bogății și de comori pământești. Inima acestui om a fost legată de Dumnezeu. The real test for Job, brothers and sisters, wasn't when Satan came and started testing him and asking God to test him. The real test for Job was when God gave him everything and he was still on his knees every day praying. Because it's so much easier to forget about God when you have everything and everything goes well in your life. And the third thing that he did, Job remained faithful. Job 10:7. Job remained faithful. And if you want to remain faithful tonight, you got to have a strong character. Strong characters are not characters that are appearing overnight. A strong character is built over time and molded through sorrow, through pain, through difficulties, through tough situations. So I don't know where you are tonight. You might have been in a depression. I don't know. Maybe you are, or maybe you will be. I was in my depression, and I cannot deny it. It can come anytime. But you know what I'm praying? I'm praying and saying, God, and this should be for me and for my church and for you guys, for my family. God, I want to say, God, I will deal with my depression knowing that I have a purpose in my life. And the purpose that I have in my life is to do God's will. And when I have that objective, when I have that purpose in my life, then I'm not going to let myself in the past as Lot's wife. God, I will deal with my depression knowing that I got rid of my ego. It's not about me, God, anymore. It's about the church. It's about the family. It's about the people that I interact every day of my life with. I cannot be a depressed Christian. No, God, I cannot be a dead Christian. I cannot just sleep when people are going to die and they're going to hell forever. God, I will deal with my depression knowing that I have to do my part. It has to start with me. God, I won't stop. Even if I'm in depression, even if I'm in a sorrow, even if I'm in pain, I won't stop, I won't quit. I won't be just like the world. I won't be just like everyone else. I will fight, God. I will do my part. God, then you're going to intervene. I will deal with my depression knowing that you're going to remove the sin in my life. You're going to remove the misery in my life. God, you see me. You see how I think. You see how I am. And you can clean me. And I ask that. And I let myself in your hands. And God, I will deal with my depression fighting. I will fight. I will never quit. I will never stop. But I will fight until the end. Cum spune Pavel în 2 Timotei 4:7-8. M-am luptat lupta cea bună. Mi-am isprăvit alergarea. Am păzit credința. De acum mă așteaptă cununa neprihănirii pe care mi-o va da El, Domnul, judecătorul cel drept. Și nu numai mie, ci tuturor acelora care iubesc venirea Lui. Amin.